All right, this is a little guy, Marshall Compton. This was him getting ready this morning for Western Day. Looks pretty excited, doesn't he? Yeah, boy, watch out, man. He may lasso you. Okay, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. You need your Bible out. So if you have not brought one with you, go ahead. There's one in the pew right around you somewhere. And take out your notes. My message is titled, Be Strong and Courageous. My desire is to challenge the boys and girls in particular, but all of us, to be strong and courageous in obeying God's word. One of the songs that they sang, and they sang four songs this morning, was Dare to be a Daniel. And the first verse and refrain go like this, standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them the faithful few. All hail to Daniel's band. And then the refrain, dare to be a Daniel. You almost want to sing it with me, don't you? Dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. And so that song is about being strong and courageous and obeying God. And even if necessary, to do it alone. Dare to stand alone. And the second verse really helps us understand it. It's not true that everyone dares to stand alone, dares to have this purpose firm. The second verse goes like this. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host. Oh, if they had dared to stand, they would have been a host by joining Daniel's band, having the courage and strength that Daniel had. Boys and girls, if you're under 12, would you raise your hand? If you're under 12, raise your hand. This message is for you. Yep, this is a message that I want to bring, a charge, a challenge to you. You can put your hands down now. That's good. And we're going to have moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, and everybody else who's here listen in. But this morning, I want to encourage our boys and girls, those in kids' clubs in particular, but all of us to dare to be a Daniel. To dare to be strong and courageous in obeying God. Would you not agree with me? We need men and women who dare like Daniel to stand and be strong and courageous in obeying God today. Now talk to me now. Talk to me. Would you not agree? Yeah, we most certainly do. This is Dylan. Just graduated from high school. Imbleton, Dylan. Graduated, or is going to graduate the next couple of days, may have graduation. Yep. But last Sunday evening, he was baptized out at Peaceful Way. Here's a couple of our youth workers, or youth leaders baptizing him. Dylan is going to need to be strong and courageous in obeying God. Dylan is a new Christian, and he's going to have to be strong and courageous because he's graduating high school. And he's already joined the army. And in just a short time, he's going to be up at Fort Jackson doing basic training. Will he not have to be strong and courageous? Talk to me now. I'm calling you out. Talk to me. You can see that, can't you? Boy, new Christian, young, 17, 18 years old, joining the military. Boy, he's going to have to be strong and courageous. Is he not? Yeah. We talked to him last Sunday morning. Sat about right there, he did. And he had dog tags on. Not the official ones yet, but he had dog tags. And on his dog tags was Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that tremendous? This young new believer having that verse on these dog tags. This morning, we're going to look at that verse and the verses that precede it. And we're going to learn how to be strong and courageous. And I'm talking to the boys and girls, but I would dare conjecture that many of you are already perhaps thinking, well, I could use a message to be strong and courageous. I need to hear about how I can be strong and courageous in my environment, in my home. Many, if not the most of us, have been involved in sports in some way. You're probably thinking, Pastor Joe, we can tell you were involved in sports. Yeah. Actually, I ran track, broke 5 minutes. You got a hoof to get under 5 minutes, but a good runner goes under 4 minutes, don't they? I mean, they're screaming. Yeah. Played some football. But many of us, the most of us, were involved in some way in sports. Maybe it's participating as an athlete, maybe as a coach, maybe as a cheerleader, most certainly as a fan. And when I was in high school, West Ottawa High School, West Michigan, we would have pep rallies. Do they still have pep? Who's in high school? Who's in high school? Do they still have pep rallies? Yeah, we would have a pep rally afternoon before the game, in the gym, cheerleaders, the pep band, the team. And the idea is to get everybody pumped up. Get everybody pumped up. I can remember a church here, and I've given this to you before, so this may sound familiar, but it went something like this. Boom, get a rat trap bigger than a cat trap. Boom, get another trap bigger than that trap. Shish, boom, ba, rah, rah, rah. Ottawa Panthers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The cheer went up. Yep. Yeah. That's high school, right? And then if you're on the team, just before the game, most sports, there's going to be this pep talk, right? The coach is going to sit around or stand maybe in a huddle with the team and say, we can win this. We're like David against a Goliath, but we can win this. Smith, I need your best effort. You really got to be sharp today. Right? Pep talk. Pep rallies. Pep talks. Our passage today is a pep talk. It is a pep talk that God gives to his servant Joshua. You probably never heard it referred to that way, but that's exactly what it is. It's a pep talk that God gives his servant Joshua. And why does Joshua need a pep talk? It's because Moses has died, and now Joshua is going to lead the nation into the promised land. And there are going to be all kinds of challenges. He's taking Moses' place. Moses was this great leader. So he's going to have to step in and fill Moses' sandals. And then the people had really a rather poor track record. They were stiff-necked and disobedient. And then all the unknowns. Just think about it. Leading the nation, these hundreds of thousands of people, leading them into the promised land. Provisions would have to be found. And then what about battles that they would have to fight? And so God gives Joshua a pep talk. That's what it is. You say that with me. A pep talk. A pep talk. Encouraging him to be strong and courageous. And I happen to think that we all need pep talks. We all find ourselves in need of encouragement as we look into the future and think of obeying God's word and fulfilling the roles and responsibilities he has for us. Can I hear an amen? Anybody else say, you know, occasionally I like a pep talk. I'll put both of my hands and stick my nose in the air. I like a pep talk. I like the encouragement. We all do. I know us. I know where we live and the discouragement that we can have. And so it's like, boy, how can I find encouragement and strength to obey God and to fulfill the roles and responsibilities he has for me? So boys and girls, go ahead and poke who's ever next to you and say, hey, you need this. Go ahead. It's okay. They do need it. All right, let's read our verses. Notice this is Joshua 1, verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Would you read verse 9? Read it together. Have I not? Be strong and courageous. Did anybody count how many times that phrase is found in those verses? Three times. Be strong and courageous. And what I want to do this morning is to develop two big ideas from our passage. First one is this: how can I be strong and courageous? Where does strength and courage come from? And then the second one is strength and courage to do what? Strength and courage to do what? And that's what our passage answers. And so the first one: how can I be strong and courageous? And where does strength and courage come from to obey God? Notice verse 5. You got your Bibles open, right? You're reading verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Then verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? I love the exclamation part behind it. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why not, Joshua? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, be strong and courageous, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Where do strength and courage come from? Where do strength and courage come from to obey God? Number one, knowing God is with us. And then knowing the God who is with us. You see, this is building. God is with us, but I need to know the God who is with us. And then knowing the God who is with us will help us. Oh, that's so important. And not just, hey, I know God and I know He's ever present, but He acts in my behalf in life's circumstances. That's huge. Not just I can affirm that He exists and He's ever present in my life, but the fact that He is with us and will help us. He's not a passive participant. He's an active participant in our life. Oh, that's big. That's big. I don't know about you. Probably should ask them. But our favorite examples of courage in the Bible. Walker, favorite example of courage in the Bible. Do you have somebody? Ethan, do you have somebody? Favorite example. Timmy, do you have somebody? Oh, you didn't know I'd call on you, did you? Yeah, you need to really hang in there with me. My favorite example. Do you want to be? You want to guess one of my favorite examples of courage in the Bible? Jake, she's not in the Bible. She's not that old. We're in trouble, Jake. Yeah, it's David and Goliath. Yeah, Perrine, she said, that's who I was going to say, David and Goliath. Do you know how old David was when he fought Goliath? He was a teenager. We're almost certain of that. And some want to say that he was only 14 or 15. Anybody here, Brooke, you just had a birthday. How old did you turn? 13. Anybody here 14? 14. Stephen, all right, 14. Perhaps 14 or 15. He may have been a little bit older, but just a teenager. We read about him fighting Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And you know, Goliath was this monster of a guy. He made NFL linemen look like midgets. Everybody wanted him on their football team. They didn't play football back then. Had they, he would have been on the big deal. He would have been on the championship team. But the story goes like this. David goes to his brothers. Dad sends him to his brothers who are in the Israeli army, and they're fighting the Philistines. And he gets there, and Goliath comes forward, and he's taunting the army of Israel. And in essence, he's saying, send somebody out to fight me. Let's just settle this one-on-one, determine a victor that way. And David steps forward. Nobody else. All the others in Israel's army were basically going like this. They were biting their fingernails. They were scared. They didn't step forward. And here's this teenager showing up carrying some food for his brothers who are in the army. And he says, I'll do it. Well, y'all have heard the story too many times. It's like, hey, no big deal. It's a big deal, isn't it? Yep. Notice chapter 17, verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they were told to Saul, and he sent for David. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth. You're a kid. Well, he's been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, and I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has, isn't this a great statement, has taunted the armies of the living God. Who does this guy think he is? He's skating on thin ice. Who does he think he is? And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. But where does David say his strength and his courage come from? Verse 17, I've got it underlined. Verse 37, I've got it underlined. It's the Lord. Yeah. He knew the living God would be the one to deliver him. Right? That's where his strength came from. That's where his courage came from. He knew the living God. And then verse 45, notice what happens. This emphasis made again as he confronts Goliath. I come to you not in my own strength, but in the name of who my God is. He'll give me the victory. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. And I will strike you down and remove your head from you. Wow. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Isn't that great? This is just a teenager making these profound professions. That this assembly may know that the Lord, he doesn't deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle, would you read that last statement with me? The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This tremendous declaration of faith. David's strength and courage come from the living God. That's what he's declaring. He knew him. He knew he would be with him. And so he steps forward and everybody else is stepping back. And what happens? You know the story. How many of us know how the story ends? Come on, put your hand up. The most of us are very familiar with the story. Sure. Previous to coming out and fighting Goliath, he went to a brook and picked up 5 stones. They're probably about this size. That's big, isn't it? Jonathan, I'm going to throw this to you just so people can see how big it is. You're going to have to catch it. That stone, don't lose it, actually came out of Israel. Because Diane and I went on a tour to Israel and were taken to the place where it's thought that this battle took place. And we went down into a brook there and picked up some stones. And our guide said the stones that he had in his sling would have been about that size. Right. So he put it in his sling and we could sing the song about David, right? Only a boy named David. Oh, you love my singing this morning, right? And went round and round and round and it went and hit Goliath in the forehead. Down he came. David runs up, grabs his sword, cuts off his head. Whoa! Right? Absolutely amazing. David, this teenager of great strength and courage, because he knew God was with him. Here, let me put that back up. He knew God was with him, and he knew the God who was with him, had experienced him in his life and walked with him, and he knew that God would be active in his life. Oh, all three of these things. Wow. Boys and girls, where does strength and courage come from? Huh? From God. Who said that? Yeah. Knowing God is with us. That's the short answer. But that's what we see in Joshua. That's what we see demonstrated in the life of David. And so we have to ask the question, well, how do I get to know God? That's a very big question. How can I be confident he's with me? And it all begins with having a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. How can I know God is with me, that God is for me? It's having a right relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ, because the Bible teaches we've all sinned and our sin has separated us from God. Boys and girls, I should be able to ask you, what is sin? But the Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all disobeyed God's commands. But it isn't just about the disobedience, our actions. It's our heart attitudes of rebellion and sin, 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 sin. Boys and girls, turn to the person next to you and say, sin is a serious problem. Sin is a serious problem. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, one of my favorite teachings of his said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's when a person is broken over their sin, when they mourn over their sin, that they're making progress spiritually. Sin is a serious, serious problem. And God provided the solution in his son, Jesus Christ. In fact, Curtis had us say John 3:16. How many of you boys and girls know John 3:16? Look at those hands up. Would you say it with me? Parker, you know it? That's tremendous. Would you guys say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we can have a right relationship with God through his Son. As we repent of our sin, which means we turn from it and realize it's serious, I need to turn from it, and we put our trust, our faith in Jesus Christ, we declare that we want to be his follower. And then we can be confident that God is with us. And then we can be strong and courageous. I'm telling you. If you profess, let me speak to the adults, boys and girls, put your fingers in your ears. This is for the adults. If you profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ and believe the things that I'm talking about, oh, we should be people of such strength and courage in today's world. Where are we at? I mean, are we stepping into it as we obey the Word of God in today's culture? Or you can take your ears out, boys and girls. Romans 8:31. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? It's an argument from the greater to the lesser. If God has already given his son to pay the penalty for our sin and provide salvation, then we can be certain that he will continue to provide for us. All right, I can be strong and courageous in today's world because I know God is with me. I'm his child. I can find the strength in him to live in obedience to his word. Anybody else get excited with me? Well, we need people who are excited about what God is doing in the world today through people just like us. Hey, when David stepped forward, you know, Saul even said, you're a lad. We can't expect you to do this. But guess what? He uses people just like Walker, just like Kevin, just like Grace, just like Sarah. Just like Luana, just like Aubrey. Oh, maybe you're wishing I would call your name. Let me assure you, he uses people just like us to accomplish his purposes in the world today. Wow. I want us to be strong and courageous. Boys and girls, turn to the person next to you and say, Pastor Joel wants me to be strong and courageous. Huh? To be strong and courageous. So then we ask the second question, strong and courageous to do what? And I love that picture. Every so often, I'll ask the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, the kids in kids clubs, and I'll say, show me your muscles. And they go, their face tightens up, their muscles tighten up. It's like, yeah, dude, I'm tough. Strong and courageous to do what? To obey God's word. Notice verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. So there it is. Be strong and courageous so you obey the law that has been given to you. Obey the word of God. And then it says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. The idea is this. It's like this is the pathway of God's word. This is the pathway of God's word. And I'm not to turn from it to the left or to the right. I'm to stay on the path. That's what he's saying. If you want success, walk in God's word. And then what does it go on to say? Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way successful and then you'll be prosperous. Don't let it depart from your mouth. For a while that phrase puzzled me, but I think it's saying this. Don't stop talking about God's word. It should always be on your lips. Don't stop talking about it. And then we're to meditate on it day and night. One of the truly great disciplines in the Christian life is meditating on God's Word. Going to sleep at night and pulling up passages that you've been studying or been memorizing and meditating on it and saying, God, I want to think on these things. Maybe even a greater prayer would be, God, I want to walk in these things. Not just think about them. Walker, I'm going to give you another chance. Ethan, I'm going to pick on you, I'll pull on you if you don't. But who did I start out talking about? Joshua, yes. And then who? The song we sang, Dare to Be a Daniel. Very good. Yeah. Daniel is a great example of somebody who is strong and courageous and obeying God. Yeah. Daniel worked for the government. How many here work for the government? Go ahead, put your hands up. You don't have to be ashamed of it. How many work for the government, right? national, state, local level. He worked for King Darius, and Daniel was very successful. And because he was so successful, others were jealous of him, and they wanted him gone. And so they talked Darius. Darius must have been a bit naive in the sense that they talked him into making a law that for 30 days, the only one you pray to is him. And if you don't pray for the next 30 days, if you're going to pray to Darius, you go into the lion's den. The lion's den. This is one of those great stories of courage, isn't it? Daniel and the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6. And you know what? Daniel knew it was wrong to pray to Darius. It was wrong. There's only one true God. And so Daniel was strong and courageous, and he obeyed God's word. He walked in this path. He didn't turn from it to the left or to the right. And we read, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. And boys and girls, what do you see in that picture? Who's watching him? Who's watching him? Yeah, see, these other guys probably in the government, so they're going to bring this accusation. But Daniel, he's not backing down. He isn't saying, well, I better be careful now. I'm going to start praying in my closet. Nothing wrong with a prayer closet. But he's not going to change what he had been done, praying 3 times a day to the one true God. And so this is not a trick question. Timmy, what did they do to Daniel? Come on, what did they do? Kevin, help him out. Everybody, help him out. This is taking way too long to get an answer here. What did they do to Daniel? Say it a little bit louder and with a growl. Threw him into the lion's den. Yeah. Wow. And Darius, he went there after that evening. He really didn't want to see Daniel in the lion's den, but he had to obey the law he had established. And notice what we read. Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, insomuch as I was found innocent before him, and also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. And the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him. Would you read that last line with me? Because he had trusted in his God. Daniel was strong and courageous and trusted in God. And thus he obeyed God rather than man. That's what he did. That's our example of his strength and his courage. Well, he was strong and courageous, and he obeyed God rather than man. Boys and girls, let me wrap this up. You've actually been very good. Moms and dads, did you pay attention too? Huh? Grandpas and grandmas? Yeah. I asked 2 questions from our verses, Joshua 1. And the first one is this: how can we be strong and courageous? And what's the answer? Knowing God is with us, and knowing the God who is with us, and knowing the God who is with us will help us. And then strong and courageous to do what? To obey all of God's word. All of it. All of it. Now, how many of you, when you're in school, boys and girls, you get homework? You do? All right. Do you like getting homework? You don't. Well, I'm going to give you homework. Okay? I think you'll like this, and I'm going to give mom and dad some homework too. We're going to apply this. And the first thing I'm going to do is if you memorize, boys and girls, all eyes up here, if you memorize Joshua 1, verses 5 through 9, the first 5, and I may extend that a little bit, who come to me and can recite it, I will give you $20. I won't give it to you. You'll earn it. Would that be a good deal? To earn? Yeah, your hand's up already. Yeah, some are getting excited. Yeah. So if you memorize it, and if you're under, if you're five, three, four, or five, and little Emma, how old is Emma? Two. She already memorized Joshua 1:9, didn't she? She was on Facebook. You could see her at 2 years old. But the younger ones, if they'll memorize that one verse, I will give them $5. Money well spent, isn't it? Yeah. Anybody help me take out a loan or something? Application number two. Application number two, and we're asking the question, how do we apply this? Moms and dads, maybe grandpas and grandmas, for the next couple of weeks, I want you to have family devotions from these passages. All right? I'm not going to give you $20 if you do it. Just do it. I'm throwing you a soft fastball that you can hit out of the park. Because one of the best things we can do as moms and dads or grandpas and grandmas with our children at the dinner table is to have family devotions. And so here you go. Some of these truly great stories in all of Scripture. Get all excited with them as you talk about David and Goliath. You can borrow my stone. Where did my stone go? You can borrow it. Or talk about Daniel in the lion's den. But at the supper table or at breakfast, I appeal to you as moms and dads, go ahead and take this the next step and talk about these things and talk about being strong and courageous and obeying all of God's word. Because I will guarantee you, if I talk to you in 10 years, you'll probably say to me, I wish I had done more to invest in the lives of my children when they were young so that they would walk with God when they're older. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Application number three. Boys and girls, I'm going to give you some hypothetical situations and ask you, how would you be strong and courageous in that situation? Ethan, I'm going to ask you this question, but they're going to help you out. I keep looking, you're right there. I don't know why I keep looking at you. But let's say your friend wants to watch a bad television show. A bad television show. So something that you know your parents have told you, don't watch this television show or these kind of shows. Ethan, how could you be strong and courageous? Who's speaking up? I'm looking at Ethan, but who said something? Ethan. Oh, that Ethan. I'm looking at this Ethan, but that's great. You're all excited about getting married. I mean, it's understandable you want to speak up. What did you say? All right, that's how you can be strong and courageous. You can say, hey, look, let's watch another show. Or you could say, hey, let's go outside and play some baseball. Might take a little courage, and your friend may say, come on, this show, I've seen it before. Scary. Yeah. A second hypothetical situation. You're at school or in the playground, and kids are mistreating somebody. How can you be strong and courageous? How can you be stronger? Hey, maybe I ought to talk to the adults and say you're at the water cooler at work and they're gossiping about somebody at work. How could you be strong and courageous? Don't think this kid stuff isn't for you, moms and dads. It's right where we live, isn't it? Come on, talk to me. Yeah, it's right where we live. But what could you do? They're mistreating somebody at school. And you know God's word says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so you knew if you were the one being picked on, you would want somebody to what? Yeah, help them. Yeah. Maybe go get a teacher or talk to mom and dad or step up and say, hey, look, just leave him alone. Yeah. Oh, this is good to work on applying this in our lives. Yeah. We sang Dare to Be a Daniel, and we're going to sing the last part. And Curtis, I don't know if you have another song after that. We can try another song. We are looking fine time-wise, but this is Philip Bliss. He wrote Dare to Be a Daniel. And you know, he died when he was about 38 or 39 years old. This great hymn writer. He died very courageously. What happened was he and his wife were traveling by train through Ohio on the Pacific Express. It was December 29th, 1876, and they were near Ashtabula, Ohio. Anybody know where Ashtabula, Ohio is? A few of you do. The train was crossing the bridge, the bridge collapsed, the train crashed into the ravine below, and that's the wreckage probably a day or two later. It caught on fire and burned. Wow. 92 people, I think, were killed. But Philip Bliss survived the initial crash. But he knew his wife, Lucy, was still in the wreckage. And so Philip Bliss climbed back into the wreckage to try to rescue his wife. And he, too, perished. They both perished. But he displayed this tremendous courage that he had written about, didn't he? Talked about daring to be a Daniel. Wow, how courageous he was as he climbed into that wreckage wanting to save his wife. Be strong and courageous. Boys and girls, I'm not giving up on your parents, your grandparents. There's still hope for them. Still hope for old guys like me. Yeah. But boys and girls, you're really the future. Sarah, we need you to stand up and be courageous and obey God's word. Caleb, we need young men like you who will stand up and be courageous and obey God's word. Curtis, and I could go right on down here. Logan, Colin. Yeah. We need you guys to stand up and be courageous in the days ahead and live in obedience to God's word. And oh, moms and dads, we need to support them. We need to do all we can to model it and to teach God's word, and to help equip them to live lives of obedience in it. Because as I read our culture, things are getting pretty tough, aren't they? Yeah. We're moving more and more from biblical foundations, and so we're going to need young men and women of courage who will step up. So if you are a teenager or younger, I'm going to ask you to stand, because I'm going to pray for God's blessing on your lives. Would you stand with me? And if you're a mom or a dad, you put your hand on them. You put your shoulder, or hand on their shoulder, as if to identify with this prayer. Let's pray. Father, we cry out to you. What a great group of young men and women. Some in grade school, some in high school, teenagers, some younger. And Father, may they be strong and courageous in the days ahead. We would ask that they would know you, know that you're with them, know that you'll help them, that they'll be in your word and in prayer as they get to know you and know your word, and then that they'll live in obedience to it. Father, we know if they're left to their own strength, they will not walk in your path. There's too many challenges out there. Too many enemies. It's only by your grace. It's only by your strength. It's only by your spirit. It's only by your word. And we are here this morning, this special Sunday, acknowledging that and crying out to you for your activity in their lives. Father, may I grow old, and 10 years from now, 20 years from now, bump into some of these guys and gals, maybe downtown Charleston, and hear from them how you're working in and through their lives to change our city and our state and our country and our world. May they be courageous like Daniel and David. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.